I've been wondering what to do with all this mess that's around us. Right? In fact, I got so frustrated this week. It's like, I'm done with the news. Even my favorite news channel, I feel like it. I felt it exhausting this week. Even, not so much that you're lying to me or I don't trust you. It's just like, just the weight of it. Just the weight of the story.
It's enough already, right?
Yeah, and I'm literally sitting here thinking, like, I don't even know how to respond. In fact, the guys who were sitting on the patio this week, Friday morning. And we were talking about a lot of that, like how do you respond in the midst of all of this? And I'm talking about things like that. Hi, Willie. Willie, we just released his promise over you. He is healing your body. He's healing your throat this morning. He promised you healing in his throat. He's promised to strengthen your bones.
Right.
He's promised to release the loud voice inside of you again. So we release peace over you. We were just claiming his faithfulness and his promise to us today. So we just say, yes, Lord.
I need it. All of it.
Come on. We dump buckets of faithfulness over you this morning.
Did you get Daniel and Karin too?
Yeah, we did. We even got your finger.
Oh, thank you.
It is being healed.
So one of the things that when we were talking with the guys Friday morning about how do you respond? Because sometimes you feel like, is there even a right answer anymore?
You know, when you think about these protest things, it's like, oh, they say complicit. If your silence is, you're complicit, right? If you're silent, you're bad. They're like, okay, I'll speak. Well, if you speak, what makes you think you're qualified to speak with us? is it talk or don't talk? And I want to get it right, and I want to be compassionate, and I want to be strong. I want to take. Remember last week our love bubble. I want to take my love bubble and bring it to the game here. I want to come and invade that space with this, and I'm thinking I don't know what to do. And do you ever get to the point where you're it's almost like not maybe debilitating is the word, but it's like you if I go right it's wrong, if I go left it's wrong, and you're like stopped, you're stuck. I don't know. And sometimes, and maybe you have decisions, maybe it's forget the protest stuff. Maybe it's like, oh, I just feel this call to go to this city. We should move to this city. And it's like, well, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe now's not the right time, right? So it's like the debate about, or maybe it's a major purchase. Should I buy the house? Should I not buy the house? Should I buy a car? Should I not buy a car? Maybe it's something with a family person or relationship. Should I have this conversation? Should I not have this conversation? Right, because you're weighing out the benefits of this thing, and you're like, "Oh, this is good." Oh, wait, this could go bad. and so we stop in action, and it's like, God, I don't believe that's you. I don't believe he wants me like removed from the game. I don't think he wants me like taken away from the equation. It's like I'm Garrett. He's asked me the opposite. He said, "Bring me in you." To this, right?
Right.
So bring me and you to the purchase. Bring me and you to the doctor's appointment. Bring me and you to COVID. Bring me and you to protest. Bring me and you.
Yeah.
Pick, fill in the blank. Bring me and you. So I know if there's a thing about step into this, right? There's a thing I'm called to step into. But so I'm thinking, okay, Barb, what do I do? So here's something I got for you. So in Romans, Paul's talking to this this young, emerging, growing church in Rome, okay? And the complexities of that church were staggering, right? So it's got, there's multiple backgrounds that are represented here. there are multiple cultures that are in it. There are multiple races that are in it. We know from scripture that there's multiple, what's the word for, socioeconomic kind of, right? So there's all that in the mix. Religion's a mixed bag in this new church, right? We've got a bunch of that were raised in this Jewish, very steeped in this Jewish tradition, right? And then you've got the Greek thought and other, right? And it's causing problem. And so Paul's trying to speak to them. When you look at his letters, he's trying to draw them to this thing of, and here's the one thing we build around. He's talking about, and here's what we're one around, right? Here's what faith looks like. This is what one church looks like. This is what one faith looks like. And but you get to this thing, this verse I'm going to read, it's in this one section where they're struggling with some of the believers, like, we don't need this. And there's a reason, and it's a very deep, heartfelt reason we don't. And these guys are like, what the heck? Right? And it's, you wouldn't think food would cause a problem, but it does. It did, right? Right. So what do I do? Right? Love? Right? I'm stuck. Oh. And Paul says this in Romans chapter 14. I'll read it out of the New American, but then I'm going to read out of Passion next. I like it better. It says, who are you to judge the servant of another? He says, to his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. But let me read it out of Passion for you.
Which
verse? Romans 14, verse 4. Okay. Is that the Passion? Oh, you got the Passion.
Yeah.
Huh? You're going to pull it out of the mirror? Okay. Romans 14, verse 4, says, who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? His own master is the one to evaluate whether he succeeds or fails. And God's servants, by the way, that's you, okay, and God's servants will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand. What did he just say? He said, the Father will not let you fail.
Was that the Passion?
That was the Passion.
Can you read it one more time?
It says, who do you think you are to sit in judgment of someone else's household servant? His own master is the one to evaluate whether he succeeds or fails. And God's servants will succeed, for God's power supports them and enables them to stand.
Oh.
He literally is telling them, you're going to be okay. You're not going to fall here. Right? He says, look, he says, you might stumble. Excuse me. He says, you're not going to fail. Because you might stumble, and you actually might fall down.
Right.
You actually might make a bad choice here, right? But here's his promise. He says, I'm gonna weave that all together to make you better. Mm-hmm. Right? If you will step into this empowered by the Holy Spirit, there's the key, by the way. We're taking our bubble filled with him into this place. If you divorce yourself from him when you step into that place, chances are you're going to make a little bit of a mess, right? But his promise to you is, let me come with you, co-labor with me, invite me, bring my presence with you, right? Talk to me, ask me, seek me as you step into this, right? And even in that, what we're doing, we're learning to hear his voice, we're learning to be patient, we're learning to listen, we're learning to rest, and who we are, we're learning to hang on to the confidence of his faithfulness in this place, right? And we're maturing, we're growing up. But he says, you're not gonna fail here, because even in the midst of your choice, you bring me to this, I'm gonna weave that into making you strong and good. By the way, he says this, Romans 8:28. Anybody know that from your scripture memories? Romans
8.
Huh?
Therefore, there is now no condemnation.
No, 8:28 is, that's 3:23, right? 8:28, oh, God.
Romans 8.
And we know that, oh.
He knows it. All things work together for good.
There we go,
yeah,
8:28.
That's my scripture for the year.
What is it?
All things work together for good for those who love
God
and are called according to his purpose.
Did you just say it's your scripture for the year?
Yeah. Huh? That's what God gave me at the beginning
of the year.
Come
on, there you go.
He said to to all is the word, and I was, and my marching orders were to look for the good in all things, and it worked, and it still is working.
Come on, that's a good word right there.
That's yep. So good.
So that's kind of what we said at the end of worship. There was, by the way, if it's not good, he's not done.
If it's not good, he's not done, because he tells you it's all going to work out too good. So I just, man, there's something I want you to, maybe that's your take home today. Yeah. If it's not good right now, he's not done.
Yeah.
Right? So he has promised you that. He has absolutely promised you that. There's this Corey Asbury song. He's the one who sings that Reckless. Love,
yeah.
Right? He has another song, and it's like,
the next
God's
one?
Not done with
Father's love, Father's house.
Father's house, I think it is.
I think it's, and I wrote down part of the lyrics. He says, sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over. My story's just begun. Mm. Failure won't define me.
Because
that's what my father does.
My father does it, and
the song goes on, and there's a verse in there, like one of the lyrics, and it says the story isn't over if the story isn't good. There's a come on, that's just good. There's the story of the prodigal son.
Yeah.
Right, and Luke 15. Right, so you've got this. You could probably would you characterize him as rebellious, as wandering? I don't know what I want. Right, probably a lot of like in your face kind of
selfish.
So in the midst of that, he heads out with his inheritance that his father gives him. And wastes it all. And I, by the way, who's telling the story in the prodigal son? Who's talking? Who's sharing the story in Scripture? Jesus. Jesus is telling the story, right, of the prodigal son. That's important. Because the story, in the story, what he's wanting you to grasp is his father. Jesus is sharing this parable for you to understand the father. Right? So the wasted living, selfish son comes home. Scripture says in 15 verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. Right? But while he was still a long way off, that's a key, understanding the father.
Mm-hmm.
While the son was a long way off,
mm-hmm.
his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, and he ran to his son.
Mm-hmm.
He threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. The father says to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Scripture says in verse 23, they began to celebrate. So I just love Jesus describing the Father, right? That he pursues you, that this Father pursues you while you're a long way off, right? Here's what's fun about that. He's not doing this.
Right.
Right, the son's, so it's the son, it's like, you know, he's not,
no, I told you so.
Yeah, no, I told you so. Oh, no, you're on probation till you prove no accounting. What'd you think was going to happen? Right? No taunting. I guess that's I told you so's, right? So he's there's nothing that says
no guilt trips.
Oh, that's a good one.
Who had the guilt trip? The prodigal did. Right. He's convinced.
I'm guilty.
He's convinced. I'm gonna get it here. I think. Wow, my gosh, this is like us. Jesus is drawing a picture for you. It's like the Father's like this, pursuing you before you deserve it, before you've earned it, before you've like demonstrated that you've passed the sun test. Right? His love has no conditions. That hurts people's heads sometimes because we can't get the thought like that he loves you unconditionally. There's no, if you do this first, then I'll love you. There's nothing scriptural about that.
Or if you never make a mistake.
Right? He loves us unconditionally. That means I didn't go to church. He loves you. I didn't go to the right church. He loves you. In fact, it was the opposite. He loves you. Right? Lots of bad choices. Lots of failed choices. He loves you.
I'm just thinking, too, on the whole other side of it, same expression of the father toward the elder brother.
So the elder brother is he's actually a picture of the religious community, the church. Like, hey, he didn't perform. He didn't do it right. I did it right. He didn't. Right. He's actually irritated. He's kind of angry that he wasn't measured. He wasn't put on the scales and right. He wasn't put on probation. Right? But not only does he love you unconditionally, not only does he restore you, right? The ring and the robe, but he throws a party. I mean, I think that is just it's the religious community. It's that other, the other that says, I want a trial here, right? I want punishment here. There's literally nothing you can do to make him stop loving you. So as we get in these positions where I don't know what to do, we're immobile because do I go right or do I go left? I just want to start taking some weights off. There's nothing you could do, right or left, even if you fall. There's nothing you could do that's going to make him not love you, right? Even if I used the wrong words, I said the wrong thing, I engaged the wrong way. He doesn't take his love away, ever. This Corey Asbury song, it goes on another part of the verse and says, prodigals come home, the helpless find home, hope. Love is on the move when the father's in the room. Mm-hmm. Prison doors fling wide, the dead come to life. Wow. Love is on the move when the father's in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like God's version of righteousness isn't defined by rule keeping. Okay. It's if you want to know what his righteousness looks like, look at Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? How did he interact? What did he do? How did he respond? What did he say? Mm-hmm. Right? And right, Jesus was sort of the master at bringing his love bubble to wherever. Wherever he's at, like it didn't matter if he's with a bunch of stone throwing religious leaders. I was almost said religious nuts. That would have been nice, but it's like he just perfectly always partnered with the Spirit and brought that to the what was in front of him, whether that was riots and stone throwers or it was sickness or people that you are supposed to have nothing to do with. Right? He engages. And so his bubble is filled with, scripture says, righteousness, peace, and joy. Right? So when heaven invades the space, that's what leaks out. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you're stepping into what do I do with
a protester or somebody that is making you angry because of their Facebook opinions or their email you just got and you just want to scream because I can't believe you said that. I can't believe you think that. You know, leave me out of your mess. Right? Like Jesus says, this is the part I also think we're supposed to start learning here is that we're all growing up, including that knucklehead who said that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We're all growing up. And so what he showed us is how to labor, how to like be patient with all these little ones growing up. Mm. That's what Paul's talking to this young church in Rome about. Hey, in fact, he questions him about, hey, you're going to have some weaker, he calls them weaker brothers and sisters. Mm. It's like he's literally saying, be patient, they're growing up.
Right?
So before you exercise your I'm right, it's like, hey, we're helping them grow up. And part of that is maybe I'm going to like back off a bit as I help them grow up. Paul says this in Romans 14, right? So when he's talking about, let's get all this diversity and all this, we're all built around this. This is what we're going to agree on. He says in verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of rules. It's not about food and drink. But it's in the realm of the Holy Spirit, filled with righteousness, peace, and joy, right? He says, we're serving the anointed one by walking. Hey, everybody got your bubble? Mm-hmm. By walking in these kingdom realities.
Right.
Right? So we're bringing our bubble filled with righteousness, peace, and joy, mm-hmm. right? We're carrying his presence into this place. Whatever this big decision is, I don't know, do I go right or do I left? What do I say? He says, we're serving the anointed one by walking in these kingdom realities, pleasing God and earning the respect of others, right? If we're, oh, I know I'm right here. And I know what I'm saying is right, and I know they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And they just need to like, oh, it's like, oh my gosh, this has to be said, because this is what's right. That's what Paul's talking to the folks in Romans. You're demanding to be right. They're still growing up. And so Paul's telling them, hey, if you're flaunting that freedom, you do have the freedom. You do. He tells us we do. But if flaunting that freedom is causing an offense, he said, then you're not letting love rule your heart. You're demanding your position. But is it really love that's coming out? Because later on in Romans 14, he says this, if your brother or sister is offended, because you insist on eating what you want, but fill in your blank there. If you insist on, this is the answer to their problem, right? It's no longer love that rules your conduct, he says, right? That was verse 15 of 14. So if somebody poked your bubble or squeezed your bubble a little bit, he brought out, what's leaking out? Is it righteousness? Is it peace? Is it joy that's coming out of our bubble? When Paul's talking to them, yeah, he's talking to this new church, but at the same time, he's talking to you. He's communicating to you that you know, this is how God has related to you from the very beginning. Because at some point in your story, and we all have our different storyline here about what our maturity is, our revelation of him as Father.
Yeah.
But at some point, you were the weaker brother or sister. You were the knucklehead. Right? You were the one doing dumb things, saying dumb things.
Right.
Right? And it's like you pause and go, okay. If we're honest, it's true. If we're honest with ourselves,
right.
it's like think about it. If we're honest. We were the ultimate weaker brother. We were the ones, before we knew him as Father, before we even had the glimpse of how much he loved us, we were that one. And God has always graciously dealt with all of us.
Right.
All of humankind at our level, not his.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers
so
get that.
right?
Right.
You know, you're not gonna teach the little ones
right.
the way you teach the big ones.
Exactly.
Right? The ones, the knuckleheads, they're orphans. They don't know his father. They're the prodigal son. They have no clue about how much he loves them. They have no clue of their anchor in the family. You're my son. They have no clue that they couldn't escape his love,
right?
Right? They have this orphan mentality, this orphan idea about him as father, right? And Paul tells us this. He says, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Mm-hmm. It's like, they're orphans, mm-hmm. and I'm sending Jesus to help them break out of this orphan thinking. Right? Jesus is going to reveal the Father. Jesus is going to let them know you have a Father. Right? Mm-hmm. John says this, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten one is in the bosom of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He has explained him. Jesus has explained him.
Wow.
Jesus is the one who's... So God is dealing with us like the father and the prodigal son story. I wish the story had been called The Good Father.
Mm-hmm.
It is the better description of the story, right? It's like, why are we focused on? And
I know.
Yeah.
That's a whole other one.
In my next Bible, it's the story of the good father,
yeah.
Right?
But we are the prodigals.
Yeah! And
it's our story.
Yes.
It is absolutely our story. You know, it's like this thing about him communicating with us on our level. We were talking yesterday about Luke. You know, it's like, right now, the best thing for Luke is sit here, not wander around, right? Here's what you can eat, not just go in the fridge and, right? He's like, we're gonna take all these questions off the table and we're gonna contain it. We're gonna make the choices simple. We're gonna, right?
Still choices.
They're still, right? In fact, most of your stuff is do's and don'ts. Luke, do this, not this. And we don't sit here spending a lot of time going, and let me tell you why, Luke, right? Right? There's going to be a time for Luke to learn the why.
Right.
Right? As he matures, Luke's going to grow up into understanding the whys, right? He's going to, as he gets older, Adam and Lisa are going to relate differently with him,
mm-hmm.
right? He's going to mature. He's going to like start participating in the relationship and start making choices, right? And we call that maturity, by the way. And with maturity comes more freedom, more authority. You're going to be able to make some choices on your own. But I think that's the same thing God's doing with us.
That's
right?
Really good.
As at some point we wake up in this understanding, we increase in this maturity of appreciating who he really is. We start to grow in this understanding of a son to his father or a daughter to the father,
mm-hmm.
right? And we start to grow in what does this look like? How do I, all this is gonna come back to, how do I not get immobilized, by the way? But it's like, how do I grow in this? How do I move in this? And one of you I was talking with last week, like about the danger of, like when you read the Old Testament, it looks like it missed it in some places. It looks like, wow, that doesn't sound like God. It actually looks hard to read. One of the things I've always told you is we don't read this indiscriminately. I always tell you, put your Jesus glasses on, because don't read this as if Jesus never happened. Don't just pick up the Old Testament and go, well, it says here, you know, throw a stone. Says here, go after and cut their head off. All right, I'm exaggerating a bit, but we don't read without Jesus in the picture.
Right,
right. He interprets it for us. In fact, I tell you, put your Jesus glasses on when you read, because whatever's like Jesus is like God, and whatever's not like Jesus What's the rest? It's not like God. Okay. No matter how
I'm, you know, understanding things, I may not get it. But if it doesn't look and smell and feel and taste like Jesus, it's not the Father, right? Because Jesus says, until we saw him, we didn't know who he was, right? So I would say, just to say, how does God want us to relate to others, right? So now we're back to the, what do I do with all this messy stuff that's around us? Do I challenge? Do I kneel? Do I say this? Do I walk with a sign? Do I, like, I don't know what your answer is. And I'm not here to answer that question for you, by the way. But I would tell you this, or not to be condescending, but gracious. What is God's showing us in our growing up? I've always loved you. I was always gracious towards you. Even in your knucklehead season, this is how I is with you.
It even says, and is it Romans, while we were still enemies, we were enemies.
Yeah. In our minds.
Yeah.
He came and he right. did this.
So we allow people to be where they're at. Mm-hmm.
I think part of John saying in verse 19. You want to read
it? Yeah, go ahead and read it.
Romans 14, verse 19. So then, let us pursue with enthusiasm the things which make for peace and the building up of one another.
Yep.
Come on.
There it is.
Things which lead to spiritual growth.
That's yep. awesome, Julia.
So you know what that means? The assignment is still the same and has never changed.
It's awesome.
Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow. Yeah.
It's the same.
So, yeah.
Good.
That's what other-centered love looks like.
That's exactly.
Does that mean it won't hurt? Might hurt. Is there going to be a cost of you making that? Whatever your response here is, does that mean somebody's not going to take you wrong, interpret you wrong, poke you, cause you to stumble, right? And maybe even make you mad, you know? And I go back to what we started with at the beginning of Romans 14. Remember what he's telling them? He goes, hey, some of them are still growing up. Some of them are still maturing. Some of them don't, while they're growing up, love them. Mm-hmm. Be gracious and love them. And that's what other-centered love looks like. Mm-hmm. That's how relational progress is made.
So good.
Yeah, I just,
come on.
Yeah.
Amen.
At some, yeah, I think I just, we started with 14:4, he said, who are you to judge someone else's servant? Right? The promise is this, right? If mm-hmm. you'll stand with the Lord, he won't let you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I say, let the Holy Spirit do his job.
Mm-hmm.
And we, that if there's a, if he's asking you to bring your voice to the table, then pause, listen. What does James say? Be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Be very, and make sure that what I'm doing here, I'm co-laboring with heaven. What I'm doing here, I'm doing with Holy Spirit. What I'm doing here is filled with graciousness and kindness. It's an other-centered response. And trust the Holy Spirit with the response. Trust the Holy Spirit with what's how the reactions. Trust the Holy Spirit with how they deal with your approach, okay? So I just, with that, we just, we invite your counsel, Lord.
Yeah.
We invite your wisdom. We want to be good kids. We want to take you into our day. God, we want to partner with you. So as we approach sickness,
as we approach the hurting, mm-hmm. as we approach depression,
right.
God, as we approach disappointment, and the list goes on, God, as we approach these things, we just say, come Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. we bring you to the game today.
Right.
We release you into our appointments.
Thanks, God.
We invite the presence of the King. We say, heaven, come. And heal our bodies, heal our land.
Thanks.
In Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.